You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And scripture reading is Ephesians 6, 18 through 24. Okay. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, that ye also may know my affairs, and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, for his sake. Amen.
Right, well, let's begin with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank thee again for this opportunity to meet together. Open the scriptures, Lord. We thank thee for what we've learned so far in the book of Ephesians. All the great truths and wonderful messages, Lord, that come from thy word. And we thank thee for its preservation, for its inspiration, and Lord, that it's relevant to us today. In Christ's name, amen. Well, we're in Ephesians, and hopefully we're going to finish off the book of Ephesians. We're in part 29, but in fact we've done 30 messages on Ephesians. One of them went it went out into the ether, but we've done 30 messages, and there's some great things that I've personally learned in here, which I'm excited about, and which I like to respond to people with as the occasion arises. And even if the occasion doesn't arise, we've got the web now, and so I can make the occasion. Anytime I feel like writing something, then it's there, and it's a great blessing. So we're in Ephesians 6, and we have been looking at this practical section as it relates to walking, how it is that family should function together, how a husband and wife should function together. Many features of this particular section which are important and relevant to where we live today. Just recently, last time, we looked at the armor of God and these six pieces that come up. You know, excuse me, I'm interchanging between American spelling and British spelling. And now I'm all confused. I'm not sure which one should go where. So anyway, you'll see that happening quite often in some of these notes. So there's these six pieces. Now, in our lesson last time, we looked at this word, which is for the armor of God, and panoplia. and this part here comes from pas, which means all, and then over here, this one here, hoplon, which means armor, all armor. And so you've got this word which comes up all over the Bible, you would think, but no, it doesn't actually. When I first looked at it, I thought, well, surely this would be a common word. But in fact, it only occurs three times in the New Testament, and twice in Ephesians 6, verses 11 and 13 of chapter 6. Those two places, and the third place is in the book of Luke. And so we went for a little excursion into that, Luke 11. If you just turn there, I'll just refresh your memory on some of the things that came up there. Luke 11:22 is where it appears. So let's have a look at that. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. Now it's important to see the context here. If you look back to verse 17, it says, but he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, this is the Lord, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. Big lessons for us today, right there. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. And it says this. Now this is the part which you need to think about. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace. So you've got a strong man and he's armed. Right? He's got that. His goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. So who is it that comes? Well, the stronger is the Lord. And he comes in to the devil and takes his arms away from him. That's the example. And then you got verse 23. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. This is the dividing line between another example. So you've got one example that shows how Christ, who is the stronger, you notice it says that? But when, verse 22, but when a stronger than he shall come, that's the Lord, he comes in, and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted. Well, here's another point. The devil's got armor. The devil has armor. He does. And it's pretty good armor, I might add. But there is one stronger. There is one stronger. And it says this in verse 23, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. You're either with him or you're not. You're not sitting on the fence. And that's the dividing line, and then comes this next portion. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, out of a man. So the unclean spirit, he goes out of a man. He walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Swept and garnished. The stronger is not in there. The stronger man is not in there. The spirit goes out, and when he comes back, what happens? Well, this person who has not got the stronger in there, is his state better or worse? Well, it's become worse. It's been cleaned out, and it's already for the spirit to re-inhabit, but not just the spirit, this unclean spirit. It says this in verse 26, then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Very big warning, isn't it? You better have the strong man in there. And you better have had that strong man come in and clean out that evil one. Because he's got armor. He's got armor and he's strong. Now as we read through, there's a lot of lessons that I went through. But I want to show you something else in here. This is Luke 12. And verse 9. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whoso shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. It shall be forgiven him. Well, let me see. Does that bring a verse to mind? The Lord on the cross at Calvary, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Father always hears his Son. So it says here, and whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Shall not be forgiven. So what we have is already a nice line-up here. We've got plenty of warnings. We've got plenty of warnings back here about the devil's armor. The fact that we need to make sure that we have the Son and His armor, and we better watch out because man without Him, the last state of the man is worse than the first. Then over here you have the Son of Man saying, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do.
and then the Spirit of God is given. Back here in Luke 12, 12, 12, 12, we have a warning to Israel. You'll be forgiven if you blaspheme against me, but if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven you. The Spirit comes here. In Acts chapter 2, it's given. And then the apostles go out in the power of the Holy Spirit, and what do? They witness concerning the Christ, Jesus, the Messiah. And what do? Well, synagogue after synagogue after synagogue, they blaspheme the Spirit of God. And crunch! Off comes another branch off that beautiful olive tree whose roots go down, down, deep into the soil. And finally, we find in Acts 28:28, pronouncement is made. The salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And to Paul, the prisoner, is given a new message in Revelation, given fresh to him. Consequent to this disaster, a disaster on the nation of Israel, but a great blessing coming to us, the Gentiles. And we read about this. It's prefigured back here with warnings. Luke chapter 12. Let's see, if we go to Luke 13.
Luke chapter 13 and verse around about 6. Somewhere in there, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Oh boy, isn't that true of Israel? Found none, man. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I came seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down! Why cumbereth it the ground these 3 years?
Cut it down. Oh, a lot of time gone in here and witness. They blasphemed the Son, rejected Him. Cut it down. Cut it down.
Then it goes on. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down.
Time went by. Time went by. Finally, after much long suffering, after that, cut it down. A lot of time went by, really, when you consider the long suffering of God.
And finally, it was chopped. There it is, a warning. One of the things we learnt last time is that the armor of God is very specifically applied in this age. It's applied differently to any other age. And that it is God's armor. Just let me show you this. Go back to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59 and verse 17.
Isaiah 59 and verse 17 says this,
For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with the zeal as a cloak. That's God.
God's armor. And here we have in Ephesians 6 the armor of God being put on in the sense that we as Christians should put this thing on. And yet it's God's. It belongs to God.
Why is it that we have the same description through the Bible, even amongst Israel and when Israel was first during the book of Acts? Why? Because it's God's armor. It's God's armor. And so being God's armor, it's descriptive of that one set of armor. But each piece is to be applied in a different way. Why, if you have a different enemy, if you have a different time, and if you have a different ground upon which the battle takes place, then the armor should be used differently. Who are our real enemies? Well, they're spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Those are our real enemies. And so we have a different application of this armor. A lot of people don't realize this. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6 with me. Ephesians chapter number 6. It says this, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And as such, therefore, the application of this armor will be different. It will be different. Up on the projections here, I've got the structure of Ephesians as a whole. And it's remarkable that we really have gone all the way through this. And it's been a great study. And so we're right down here, right down near the end here, where we're looking at the armor and we're going into this prayer, which is going to be important to us. And it says this in verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." There's an evil day coming. There is an evil day coming. And what I want to suggest to you now is that this is preparation for that great evil day. You say, "What are you talking about?" Yeah, you think about it. There is going to come a time when we will be resurrected. We will be given bodies which will be outfitted for the realm in which we are going to live. Now, I know this sounds wild because, you know, we're limited beings. And yet, we seem to be able to invent ideas in science fiction which turn out to be true. You know, have you noticed Star Trek? Star Trek, the little controllers. That was before cell phones. But that's a cell phone, right? And now we have cell phones. It's not a big issue. You know, it's not a big issue. Back then, wow, what was that? You know, just a neat science fiction idea that someone came up with. No, it's just prophetic of something that's to happen. Well, sometimes we look at the Bible, unfortunately, like it's science fiction. Remember, this is prehistory. These are things that are going to happen. There is a realm. There are enemies that we're going to have to take their places. There's going to be a battle take place. And we're going to be involved with that. And we're preparing for it. We're preparing for it now. Well, hopefully we are. And it says this in verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Hey man, I'm really on fire. I'm even making this thing work now. It's actually going along with my sermon. "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Now notice here what's interesting here. There's just so much in each one of these. But I want to concentrate on these two. The shoes. The gospel of peace, the sword, the Word of God. Notice these two correspond here. Which is interesting. Now, the gospel of peace. Let me just read that section again. And it says here in verse 15, "And your feet shod," you've got to put it on, "with the preparation." The preparation. Now, sometimes with these sort of summaries, you get the wrong idea because, you know, it says the shoes, and then you say, "Oh, the shoes are the gospel of peace." But if you read the scriptures carefully here, it says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." It's the preparation which belongs to and comes from the gospel of peace. The preparation. What is the preparation? It is the readiness, the preparedness of the gospel of peace. But the context of the gospel of peace relates to something dispensational and national. The gospel of peace relates to the fact that there is no advantage given to the nation of Israel. That something new has been created and given to us. The context of the gospel of peace is the fact that we are not at enmity with God as a group of peoples. Because Gentiles really means the nations. We are a group of the peoples, the nations. And we are no longer at odds with God in that sense. God now is dealing directly with us. That's a huge thing, my friends. And that means that we have this preparedness. If we understand it, and if we don't understand it, we will not have that preparedness. We will not have our feet shod with that preparedness, and therefore we're going to put on the wrong walk. You get the point? RD, man. RD. It all comes back to RD. RightDivision.com. Right?
RD. You've got to have it. If you don't have it, how can you know how to walk and please God in this age?
How? I challenge anybody to tell me how I know how to walk in this age without right division. You tell me. Give it to me. Send an email, will you? Tell me how to do it. Because, my friends, I know the key that unlocks the truth about this. I don't say I've got all the knowledge, because I sure don't. I don't have all the knowledge, but I've got the key. And all I have to do is apply that key. And that key is right division. And it says this, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and that goes with, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word is this. Rhema. See this little thing here? That's called a rough breathing. And that's how you get the in the front. Rhema. Rhema. And it's a spoken word. The Word Theou. The Word of God. Spoken Word of God. It's, my friends, the spoken Word of God must originate from some source, and here it is, the written Word of God. That's where it comes from. But my friends, in this context, it comes from the written Word of God, rightly divided, and then we speak it out. Here is something I'm learning more and more. There's some fine tuning coming in here. There's some fine tuning. We've got to use more of our mouths. Yeah, it's good to have it written down, but we've got to start using our mouths and speak it out. The spoken Word of God is really powerful. It is.
And we need to use that more and more. And so, going down here a little bit further, it says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Supplication is mentioning things and asking of God things which are good. In a general sense, that's what supplication means. In the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. For all saints. Yeah, that's what we need to do. We're not going to disobey that. We're going to obey it. Praying always. Oh, okay. So here's a big lesson then. Praying, therefore, cannot be this.
Why? Because you're going to crash the car. Because you're going to crash the plane.
Praying always, right?
There is an attitude of prayer that you could have all the time. Seth and I talk about this all the time.
We talk about this, that, you know, before we teach something, we're in prayer. We're in prayer about this. Everything. Bring it to the Lord in prayer. And it says this in verse 19, then he, after the saints, look how great a man Paul is. And we're looking at this perhaps not with reference to the inspiration of it. With the inspiration of it, well, we kind of put Paul's personality out of it a little bit. But if you look at this as Paul writing, you can see how great a man he was. It says in verse 18 at the end, and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth. Here it goes. This goes with the chrema
of God, the spoken word.
All right, here he goes. To make known the mystery of the gospel. First thing is, this has an application in time past. Yeah, when Paul was really in jail, and he was a physical human being in jail, and he wanted to have utterance.
Hey, what about us today? Is there any practical application of this today?
Yeah! We need to pray that God's word, rightly divided, would be made known so that Paul would have utterance from jail. That is, the prison ministry would be made known, right? That's what we need to let Christians know about today, because that'll set them free from all of the tradition and the nonsense that people are involved with. I put myself in the same category. Where do you think I was? I know about these things because I was there. And I'm not speaking like I'm some sort of superior being. The only reason I got out of it is because someone came to me and said, have you read that? That's how. Someone said, have you read this? Do you know about this? And then I read it. And I said, well, hey, dope. That's a bit of the puzzle that I've been looking for. And then more came, and more came, and more came. And it says, that I may open my mouth boldly. Boldly. To boldly go where no man has gone before. You know, boldly. That's what we've got to do. It. Our action should be bold in doing this. To make known the mystery of the gospel. I'm just pointing out here some of the things that is up on the site. You know, if you miss some of the verses, there's teacher notes up there you can have a look at. And they're useful. But I want to know now about the mystery of the gospel. What is that? What is the mystery of the gospel? Well, one of the things that really helps in understanding the scriptures is structure. Structure. Now, I've amended this structure. This sort of structure was originally written by Welsh, but I've changed one thing here because he's put in here, if I turn around the right way, he put in here the dispensation of the mystery. But as we pointed out, that's not what the scriptures say. It says the fellowship. And there's good reasons for that, and we studied that. But notice something here. It says the mystery of Christ, and that's in structural agreement with the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ has been revealed in time. And what happens is, Paul comes along and he puts the capstone on it. He puts the capstone on the mystery of Christ, revealing more and more about what Christ is doing through history. And so here you have in 6:19, the mystery of the gospel goes exactly with the mystery of Christ. Let's have a look at another passage in Colossians. And this is another thing you can do to help in understanding this passage, is to get Colossians, which fills out some of these ideas. In the same context, Colossians 4, verse 3, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. You see, it's the same idea. To speak, look, the mystery of Christ.
It's confirmed. You see, for me now, that's it. That's out of any conjecture. Someone asked me, what is the mystery of the gospel? I'd show them the structure, and I'd take them here, and I'd say, it is the mystery of Christ. And we know about the mystery of Christ, how it has been shown in ages, yes, in all sorts of different ways. But then when it came to Paul the prisoner, he put the capstone on that revelation. He put the capstone on that. And so we see this outflowing message about Christ. And if you want to understand the fullness of the message of Christ in scriptures, you have to get Paul's distinctive ministry. Here it is. Paul. Or a man. Gold. Gold. Upstruck gold. Gold. Lovely stuff, isn't it? You women know about gold. It's a lovely color.
And it's you know, the best gold, you can tell where it's good. You put it in your teeth and you clamp down on it, and it has a certain amount of softness to it. And it's very valuable. It's rare. It's beautiful. It's used in industry as well. It's not something to look at. It has a lot of industrial uses. When you come to Paul's prison ministry, you strike gold, man. Real gold. Fantastic. I want to show you something. As we read through this, we just go back to Ephesians 6. It says this, verse 20, "For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." That's right, Paul, the ambassador in bonds. Not simply in bonds to Rome, but he is the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you, for us, Gentiles. Right? That's it. And he says, "that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to." You notice the word boldly is appearing again and again. And notice, speaking over and over again. Krema, spoken word, is coming up. I'm learning. See, I'm starting to learn a few things about my own ministry too, and how to be effective. And I think being effective, yes, we need to write, but we need to speak too. "But that you also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things." Well, Tychicus is not Paul, but look what he does. "A beloved brother, faithful minister, make known to you all things." Wow, man. We don't have to be Paul, right? We can be a Tychicus. And we can make known all things, man. That's a great ministry we can have. And not be Paul. It says, "whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts." Comfort is a great thing too. "Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen." And it finishes with "amen," which means truly, man. Truly is an adverb. And therefore, it modifies a verb. And the verbs in there tell us about what Paul was to do and what Tychicus did. Make all things known. Yeah, we need to do it. I mean, we need to be involved with this. What a great ministry we have here in this fellowship. We have learned so many things. One of the things I think I've learned out of this is that we are all in it together, and each one of us has a function. And not all of you know what your function is. Fortunately for me, I do. I know what I've got to do. But you've got to find out your part in it too. You have a part in this. And we've got to make known the mystery of the gospel. We've got to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. We've got to make them see it. By hook or by crook. Shivers me timbers. You know, we've got to do it. And we're going to be clear and bold. And I hope that through this study, you've got a lot of truth. Now, there was actually a couple of points I was going to point out about Joshua and how he conquered. Because I think there's some parallels about how we are going to conquer in the future. You know? And how Joshua came into the land. There are some parallels there. But I think we've more or less had our time. I trust that this book of Ephesians has been open to you somewhat more than what it has in the past. And I'm not saying that we've had the final word. No way in the wide world. There's plenty more to reach down into and gather out of this well of truth that's there. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time we've had. We pray, Lord, that we would have the same boldness, Lord, that Paul asked for. And we pray, Lord, that his ministry, which he began, would be made known, Lord, through the website, through our preaching and teaching, and through our own personal contact with other people, that we would utter the truth, be bold in it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.